Okay, we'll bring it back to council for discussion and/or action.
Mayor Hammond.
Pro Tem Gregory.
I'd like to go ahead and make a recommendation to approve Resolution 24XXX, authorizing the city manager to execute a change order to the existing contract with Omni Design Incorporated in the amount of $159,037, bringing the total contract to $1,058,490, with the city manager and city attorney making minor technical and non-substantive changes as necessary, consistent with the council's overall intent, and finding that this action is consistent with the previously certified negative declaration. Where am I going? Results for November 5th, 2024.
Union Road Safety Training Center.
Previously certified mitigated negative declaration for the Union Road Safety Training Center, and no additional CEQA review is required.
Second.
There you go. Okay. All right. So we have a motion by Gregory, second by Strong. Discussion. Frida, what I'd like to see when you get some drawings on the ground, I'd like to see if maybe we have two-and-ones on something like this, so we kind of understand what your thoughts are, where we can, over the table, kind of look and see and throw our two cents into, you know, what we're doing. So other than that, it's good to go. All right, we'll call for the question then.
Councilmember Gregory.
Aye.
Councilmember Strong.
Aye.
Councilmember Bausch.
Aye.
Councilmember Beal.
Aye.
Mayor Hammond.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Very good. Thank you. Moving on to item 3 of discussion, approval of the final map, track 3149, for recordation, Veneto Planning Area 9, Olson South Chandler, specific plan PA-9. And Warren, do you have that item?
Yes. Let's get it up here on the screen.
Councilmember Bausch, did you want to make your disclosure again?
I had an ex parte meeting with Mr. Ryan.
Okay.
This is actually a follow-up to the item that you considered earlier, which is the CFD annexation. This is the same property. Normally, the final maps are on consent, but we had to conduct the public hearing election. That's why this is a discussion item versus just a consent item. So the area we're talking about, this is track 3149. It's a final map. It's this area, area 9 of the overall Olson South Chandler specific plan area. This is the approved tentative map. This came back for amendments that the council approved a couple months ago. 112 residential lots, 111 common lots, a total of 123 lots. This is the tentative lot layout. Here's your final map. You can see it matches exactly with the tentative map, which is required for consistency. This is the CFD annexation that we talked about earlier. So the recommendation tonight is to adopt the attached resolution. It will basically execute these listed items and then direct the city engineer to record all documents required by conditions of approval. That concludes staff's report.
Okay. Council questions? The item. I had one, if you would, Warren. There was your plot plan there back. It does not pertain to this one. It's that one right there. That one. All the ones on the Our Town side. Those are those cul-de-sacs. Or I mean, is that in our city, or what is that right there? That area to the north of Sherwood Road.
So it's this area here.
Yes.
That's the Our Town subdivision. It was subdivided in 1962. They're all legal lots of record. There's about 56 lots total there, I believe. That's all in the city limits. As part of the Olson South Chandler specific plan, that project was included. It is now going to be hooked up to city water and sewer. That's why those lots were never developed in the 60s. And once water and sewer is available, all those lots are legal lots. The roads just need to be repaved, and those are set for construction.
Is it pretty much the same layout where we see now on plan as what it was before?
Yeah, right now the plan, I believe the owner's plan is to leave the lots exactly as is and just to provide the sewers, repave the roads, and build houses.
Got it. All right. Thank you. Okay. Any other questions?
I do.
Yeah, Pro Tem Gregory.
So, Warren, how many houses does that include for that area for the old town?
Our town? I think there's about 55 or 56 legal lots of record. There's about a half dozen houses that exist on this first cul-de-sac that'll get remodeled and cleaned up. And then this parcel right here also belongs to our town. It wasn't subdivided. It originally was an access road. So they're in the process of coming in with a subdivision on that as well. They'll probably create another dozen lots.
Okay. Thank you.
Is that where their water tank was at one time?
The water tanks were actually down here on this parcel here, and that's been transferred to the master developer, and that's now part of a separate planning area.
Got it.
Good. So this is our one, our town?
It's single-family residential. It's
okay,
under the specific plans. It's not our one.
Under state law, though, they could have as many as four plexes on each lot, technically.
With the ADU laws, that's definitely true.
Right. And I don't think they can all, I can't have that and a mother-in-law placer.
So you can have up to, you have the primary unit and two ADU units,
well,
the junior and the regular ADU unit. And then possibly, you know, if you do the SB9, you could create even additional units. So there's a variety of options under state law now.
Okay, so basically, we can't really estimate how many houses are going to go there. Depends on what the individual owners want to do.
Yeah.
I'm talking about our town.
Still questioning on that.
No, but
no, I know. We're just
well, it's related to this item.
Yeah, and we're just wondering. All right. Let's do that. Okay, any other questions from council? All right, we'll open it up then to the public. Anyone wishing to have any comment on this item, please come forward. Seeing none, we'll bring it back then to council for discussion and or action.
So I have a question for city council, for attorney. So if I move to make, approved resolution 24XXX, A through F, or do you want me to read the whole thing?
Nope, you can go with A through F on this one. It was supposed to be on the consent calendar.
Then I'll make that motion.
The only reason it's not is because we had to do it after the CFD.
So I move that we approve resolution 24XXX, including items A through F.
Second.
Okay.
Bausch.
Bausch, yeah. I think Bausch, Jim, you won that one. So basically, item one, A through B as proposed on our agenda, correct? All right. Any discussion on the motion? All right, we'll call for the question. Melissa.
Councilmember Gregory?
Aye.
Councilmember Bausch?
Aye.
Councilmember Beal?
Aye.
Councilmember Strong?
Aye.
Mayor Hammond?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Very good. We're on to item four. That's a second reading by title only, an adoption of Ordinance 1153, amending the Paso Robles Municipal Code Chapter 12.44.010 regarding employee parking permits. Mr. Huat.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm going to wait just one moment here while we get everything loaded up. Good evening. Yes, so at your December 3rd City Council meeting, staff presented findings based upon research and analysis that the City Council requested of staff to conduct. At the time, staff was looking for feedback on whether or not things like a low-cost decal program and additional enforcement were things that the council would like to consider as it relates to the employee lot program. And at that time, we had not conducted any outreach only because we were looking to get some direction from the city council. Of course, at that meeting, the council did take an action to approve first reading of an ordinance that would actually eliminate the program. So staff's recommendation, and then as part of that first reading, the council had requested that staff do additional outreach to stakeholder groups, as well as bring the item back for second reading as a discussion item, as opposed to a consent calendar item, which we were doing this evening. Staff's recommendation has not changed for the factors that we discussed last time, including cost for enforcement, as well as the paid parking versus the on-street free parking, and the issues there. Staff's not recommending to pursue the low-cost employee parking lot program and to remove all those lot restrictions as of the 1st of January of 2025. Under
excuse me, staff's recommendations, the spaces about 98 would convert to first come, first serve, still be available for downtown employee parking, but that without cost to the employer or the employee. Of course, still would benefit the downtown area. There would need to be some updated signage and stakeholder outreach, but otherwise, that would be staff's recommendation on the first item. And then we discussed the 30-minute spots that are still marked on street around downtown. I believe there's about 35 of those, and staff was recommending to not make any adjustments to those. They seem to be working kind of on the honor system, again, with complaint-driven enforcement as staff from PD is available. So again, with that, we're here to answer any questions. I have more slides should we need to discuss anything further. Otherwise, staff is recommending that the City Council approve second reading this evening.
Okay, open up for questions.
I do.
Councilmember Beal? Okay. Councilman Strong? Okay. Pro Tem Gregory?
So I don't know who can answer this question, but I'm going to ask it. So I had some conversations with some of our local businesses downtown, and one of the things that I think Mr. Nelson actually said originally is that we'll try to come back and keep it as low cost as possible for the employees and for the businesses. So this might be a harebrained idea, but I think it would work really well, and I'm going to say it, and it's a question. Is there anything legally wrong with leaving the signs up and not enforcing the program?
I don't believe so, no.
Chief, yeah, Chief Norton, you want to answer that part of it?
Yeah. Yes, that last one.
Okay.
No, there's nothing legally wrong with doing that. Obviously, that's at the will of the council to do.
Well, okay, thank you.
One point of clarification that I'd like to make is that we talked about this previously, is that our old vendor, Flowbird, was the one that was kind of managing the employee permit registration behind the scenes. Right. So since the on-street paid parking program went away, Flowbird obviously is no longer in the picture. So I believe our annual permits are coming to a close on December 31st or whatever. So after January 1st, you know, there isn't going to be a permit to issue. So it'd be really on the honor system.
Yeah. So my question is not for the program, but just for the signs.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Mr. Bausch.
Actually, oh, sorry.
Hang on, Chris. I'll get back to you. Sorry. Chris Bausch.
Thank you. So people have made the question. I can't answer this, but I'm going to tie two issues that are both controversial at this point. You know, we can't afford anybody to I think, and I'm extrapolating here, like a half-time officer for parking enforcement. And then because it's $120,000 a year for a part-time, and help me with my numbers here, Chief, but we also can't afford to a rationale of a part-time person to enforce a dog patrol in the park. So if you had two part-time duty park and parking, you know, that might be some justification if we ever come back to revisit this in the future. Does that make any sense at all?
So we obviously are able to enforce, but there would not be, there's obviously contributing factors to when we have time and what we can and can't do with our current staff.
It's just a matter of priority set by the council.
It's just, if you guys choose to leave signs up, for example,
right,
and people are allowed to park there, obviously it's going to be on an honor system because we won't have any mechanism to actually enforce anything.
Right.
So if we do create some sort of program again and there needs to be enforcement, yes, obviously we can enforce it. It's going to be, you know, the council's will of what you want of us to do.
Right.
Do you want us to leave this up to the public to be trusting and, you know, only employees are going to park there, or do we want it enforcement driven?
Well, my sense is that we want to go on the honor system today. I think some of the comments, a couple of the letters that we received, for example, indicated, you know, to monitor this and let's see what happens down the road. So with that in mind, that might be one of the solutions, you know, a better enforcement down the road. No, I don't want to do the enforcement right now today. I do like the idea. In fact, I think I brought it up at the last meeting, leave the signs up. I think that's a brilliant idea. I don't know about all of the signs, but I think the leaving the signs up that say employee parking, I think that's smart. I still think that there are documents that are in the old city attorney's office right here in downtown Paso Robles that have yet to be recovered. We need to go get those. And I think that may shed some light onto how ownership and title flowed to those and who paid for those. And I think that still has bearing on this, and that needs to be discussed before we make a decision. However, I'm thinking about how to solve this down the road. So thank you for chiming in.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any other questions? Councilmember Beal.
I thought the staff report was very helpful. It explained sort of the timeline and the context, but for people that haven't read the staff report, could you just review the timeline over the last 6 months briefly about where we've been and how we got to where we are right now?
Thank you, Councilmember Beal. So back in May, I believe, of this year, the City Council voted to eliminate the on-street paid parking program. Subsequent to that, in August of this year, the City Council directed staff to review several elements of the employee parking lot program, given that it was kind of the remnant of the broader program. And so at that time, staff was directed to do research on the ownership and usage restrictions of the employee lots, research a reduced or no-cost decal-based permit system, explore options and associated cost with increasing enforcement, and then conduct outreach to the downtown parking stakeholders. In December, as I mentioned previously, staff came back and presented its analysis on the first three items, withholding the outreach only because, again, if there was going to be further clarification or direction by the council, we wanted to receive that before going out and more broadly engaging with the stakeholders, again, only because we did not want to be in front of them with maybe information or assumptions before getting direction from the City Council. So you held first reading and approved first reading of the ordinance to eliminate the program on December 3rd, and then we are back here today based upon that approval and have the second reading in front of you today.
Any further questions on that? Yes. Okay. All right. Then the council's done with questions, and then we'll open it up to public. Anybody wishing to have a comment on this item, please come forward.
Dave Nelson, Paso Robles. I've only got 3 minutes, so I'm going to let you read some of this stuff. I've collected some additional feedback from people.
Thank you.
I want to point out, this is the tail wagging the dog. You should be listening. You are our representatives, the people, the businesses, the employees. You should be taking a direction and recommendations from us. My recommendation on August 20th was to leave them the way they were. That was from my talking to businesses and employees, 37 of them, on August 19th. I have subsequently talked to 9 businesses representing 44 employees, and the results are here. They want to keep them. They want to keep them with zero cost for employees. One of them said low cost. There's some comments, there are quotes at the bottom from 3 of them saying that they want to keep them and why. 30 out of 44 of them use them now, even the ones that don't want to keep them. So I want to make a couple of corrections. The employee parking lot program dates back to 1981. Jeffrey's going to tell you about that. Way back. This is not part of the paid parking program. Okay? It dates way back. There is a part of the basis for the staff's recommendation is that there's no demand. That is a false basis because the permitting software was turned off in May. There is no way for people to get permits. That's why the lots are not full. Also, the permits cost money. If they didn't cost money, we can increase demand. If we promote them, we can increase demand for employees. The business owners clearly want to keep them and are using them now. Those are the people. Those are your constituents. I'm not asking for the city staff, with all due respect, to tell us what the business model is. I'm asking you to listen to the people. That's who you represent. Enforcement, not necessary. They're self-enforcing. They have been now. We don't need new officers. Every time there's a new street, we need to enforce the police or the speed limit on. This is a minor thing. There are 150 permits ignored. This is 160 license plate numbers. This is how much it would take to enforce all the parking. You print all of the license plates in alphabetical order, and you go down the lot and see which ones are occasionally. I'm sure Ryan can tell you this is a high school programming project to write a web page to register 150 things. This is a very easy thing to do. I'll let him comment on that. Anyway, back to this. Listen to the people. I collected this information. I told these people I would come here and represent them. They can't all come. Please listen. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else? Jeffrey?
Good evening, councilmen and women. Jeff Wiesinger, Jeffrey's Wine Country Barbecue, and president of the Paso Robles Main Street Association. I submitted a couple letters earlier this afternoon. Was everyone able to get those?
We got them.
Thank you. So I am speaking on behalf of the Paso Robles Main Street Association first. We are in support of keeping the lots designated for employee parking. I expressed in my letter, I think the number one goal is a gesture of goodwill. This has been a really contentious issue that has been kind of dragging down the image of Paso Robles from the community to visitors alike. I've read the staff report several times, now listened to the meeting from last at the early, you know, the beginning of the month, and then just hearing Chief talk about the lack of enforcement. And I don't think any of us really have a problem with the lack of enforcement. It's been all about goodwill, trust, signage that demonstrating to the community, to the local businesses, to the employees that we hear you and we are doing everything we can to try to solve the perceived parking program, the parking problem, rather. To just leave the signs up, there's no financial impact. It really becomes a communication kind of issue. And I'm in a strong belief that if you're in the know, then you're in the know. We're not hiding anything from anyone, but the current program allows us in the Main Street Association and myself speaking on behalf of just being a business owner in downtown, we are trying to resolve this issue. We're trying hard to get our employees to park off street and in these lots. And if it's not going to cost anything to enforce, to leave the signs up, and we allow the program to continue on in the event that we want to bring it up again in the future. I don't want to impart any fiscal impact to the city, so I'm definitely cognizant and aware of that. I mean, Councilman, you brought up the dog issues. There's quite a few between those two issues that it's not necessarily going to be enforced, but the signage will help the honor system. You know, it's really about the honor system and showing the community and the local businesses that we are not going to completely abandon this employee parking program. I think it's an important program. I think it provides a lot of benefit to the city and to our local businesses. So I'm sorry for not speaking clearly enough, but I took a lot of time last night to write my thoughts down. So if you get an opportunity to read those again, I'd appreciate it. I know my time is up, but I also wanted to submit, there's still conversation that these parking lots were at one time purchased by local businesses, and Norma Moy has a huge treasure trove of documents, and I happen to come across some documents, so I'm hoping maybe after the meeting or at some point we can submit these documents to kind of clarify that these are in fact paid for by the city and they were not at one time purchased by local businesses.
Jeffrey, yeah, if you want to hand that over to staff, we can certainly look at that evidence. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Dale?
Good evening again, Dale Gustin. Ms. Beal, I was here in 83 presenting a time parking program to the city. The city took the flim-flam promises of Julie Dixon that she had a better program that would make a lot of money. So the city got taken in by it and invested $1 million, and it failed. Now, it started off with the parking lots for the employees, which was a great idea. And it also was only enforced Monday through Friday, ending at 6 p.m. in the evening. Everybody loved that. Even the locals could live with that. But then Julie Dixon comes along and says, oh, we got to change this. And you foolish people listened to her. 7 days a week till 8 o'clock at night. And, of course, you killed all the locals coming to town. And the business people were upset with you for doing that. And you refused to listen to us until we got legal cease and desist letters served on you. Now, you had three employees enforcing that thing that was a failure. The time parking would have only taken one part-time. But however, Mr. Bausch has checked into this license reading thing, and it can be done pretty cheap. So why does a city invest millions of dollars on everything but its downtown parking request to enforce the employee parking lots? It wouldn't cost $120,000 for one part-time person with a license reader, and you give out the permits free annually, make them renew, and there's times when I have seen every one of these employee parking lots full with employees. Now, there's a problem enforcing everybody. We know that. Let's leave it up to the employers to enforce their employees. But give us some help. Why just abandon the program? Why not modify it down to no cost and one part-time person to enforce it? Please.
Welcome.
Hi. Do I push something or does that...
No, you're good to go. Okay. Go ahead.
Hi. Dominique LeBourgeois. I represent Sunshine Olive Oil. I'm a new business in town, and I'm begging you, please do not get rid of those lots with the parking, because it's hard to find parking after 10 o'clock in the morning. Some days, not every day, but especially on the weekends, and especially if there's something going on in the park. When there's something going on in the park, there is no parking anywhere, even in those lots. It's pretty bad. So please, I'm just begging, don't take away those lots. Don't take away the signs. At least I can tell my employees you have to park in those lots. Don't park in the across the street in front of the neighbors, because all they do is go and park in front of my store and then so on and so forth and all up and down the streets. Anyway, just please, thank you.
Thank you. Sharon, welcome.
Remember me?
Yes, I do.
Listen to the people. No paid parking. They told us that businesses could tell their employees where to park. There's no impetus for the employees to utilize these parking places when they can park anywhere on the street. There's no enforcement. And to just correct a little bit of the numbers, part-time is about 25,000. The 120 was a full-time with benefits. There's no honor to lying to people in our community of what a public parking place is utilized as. There's no honor in that. They ought to have the same ability to park anywhere that anyone else does. The employees can park anywhere they want. So can anybody else. And when it gets busy downtown, you would hope that the businesses are busy as well. Even when we're having things in the park, that it bleeds over into the businesses. There was an exhaustive title search. I don't know about the papers that Norma Moy has. That would be interesting if the title company was unaware of some papers. They make mistakes. It could happen. But we haven't seen anything presented that would verify that there are other papers. And the no enforcement, we don't need to go down that road again. I thought we had learned our lesson. I was told that we had. So I'd like to see those lots utilized for anybody and everybody who wants to park there. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Point of order. I have the
okay.
No.
Nope.
Mr. Gustin, I need you to sit down, please.
Okay.
No.
Mayor Hammond.
Anyone else?
Mayor Hammond, we do have a caller.
Okay, go ahead and listen.
Dana Broden.
Hello. Can you hear us?
Hi. Yeah, this is Dana Broden. I just wanted to put in my two cents. I think that it was the right move to get rid of the paid parking program, and I think that it would be the right move to also get rid of the employee program for those parking lots, because I like to go downtown, and when there's no place to park downtown, and I would like to be, I for one would like to be able to park in those lots that are now designated for employees. And it's frustrating to me when I'm trying to do some shopping or do some dining or whatever downtown, and I see employees parking in front of the businesses and whatnot and taking up those spaces. I think this may just be my opinion, but I feel like they only park in those parking lots when there's nowhere to park on the street. And it takes away the opportunity for me to park. And I hear some people talking at the podium saying that they're, you know, speaking for the people. And I have a different opinion, and I just wanted to call in and let you know what that was. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else, Melissa?
No, sir.
Very good. Then we'll close public comment and bring it back to council for discussion.
John.
Pro Tem Gregory.
Yeah, I'm going to start out by saying today I always get a quick dinner before I come to the meal. And the parking lot behind Odyssey Cafe had 49 cars in it. They're all employees. So to say the employees don't use these parking lots is, I don't believe that. But I want to just talk about concept. It doesn't matter what the lots were bought for or who paid for them. They're for parking, whether it be for employees or for the public. We have a system that is working generally well for the employees with these parking spots now. And there is zero cost to us to leave the signs up, let the employees park there who are interested enough in being there from their employers, and let it work. 6 months down the line, if you want to do some kind of enforcement with the license plate readers, we can discuss it. But right now, if we have employees parking in those parking lots, we owe it to the employees and the employers. That's for them. And I'm fully supportive of just leaving the way it is, coming back in 6 months, and if there's enough evidence there to enforce, we enforce. If there isn't, let it lie. It cost us no money. And I'll guarantee you, anybody that's ever gotten a ticket in the city of Paso Robles for parking will not park in those parking lots. That's my 2 cents worth. Because it costs a lot of money.
Councilman
not
Strong.
Not to bring up old times.
Councilman Strong, go ahead.
There's a number of aspects of this. There's the legal aspects and there's the desirable aspects. I like Councilman Gregory's idea about don't change the parking signs. However, Chief Nord has a responsibility as a law enforcement, head of our law enforcement. If there's a law on the books, he has to enforce it. So we could still pass this ordinance that we passed and take the restrictions off, but leave the signs up. Now, the one group that will definitely not park there in that case is the tourists, because they won't know that it's anything but what they see. So the only ones that are going to take advantage of are those of the public who actually listen to us or read what's happening here. And frankly, that's a very small percentage, I think we've all found out from the elections. So we could proceed with this thing. And as far as who purchased the lots, when we had the downtown parking district and the employers or the owners of the buildings bought those lots, it was as in-lieu parking because they didn't have enough parking for their business on the street. So they paid into this to buy lots to make up for that parking, which was supposed to be for general parking. It wasn't just for their employee parking. It was never that the intention. But to use it for that right now, Councilman Gregory's idea is great. Finish up the ordinance, take the restriction off so the chief doesn't have to enforce it. Because if we leave it up and he has to enforce it, that's his job. His job is to enforce the law. So if you leave those on and leave them restricted legally, then he's got to enforce it. That is going to take money. Now, if it's Main Street that really wants this, then they can pay for it. All we have to do is move their money over that we usually give to them and create a part-time position instead. But I don't think Main Street would really want to lose that money. So I think the best answer for everybody is finish up the ordinance and leave the signs up. And it pretty much solves the problem. Then the other thing about this is, why are we meddling in businesses? Why are we telling their employees what they can or can't do? That's the job of the business owner. I mean, if he can tell his people how to dress when they're working, he can also tell them where to park when they're working. Because that's part of the job of an employer, to regulate his employees when they're on the clock. He's paying for their time. He has the right to tell them what to do during that time. So that's up to them. And I think that solves the whole issue. We don't have to enforce anything, but we still are discouraging people from parking there. And then it's up to the employer to get their people parking there. And here's the best thing about it. Very few people go downtown before the business is open. Why do you go downtown and park and just sit there and twiddle your thumbs? You're not going to go downtown until there's something to do downtown. Therefore, employees have to get there before their shift starts. They still have the best access to the parking lots, just as they do to all the parking on the street. We can't legally restrict them from using the street either. We've already had that opinion from our own attorney. So I'd say just proceed with this ordinance, finish it up, and leave the signs alone. Just leave them up.
Councilmember Bayfield, any questions or discussion items?
Yep.
Go ahead.
Okay. So just as a little disclosure, I attended the last meeting with the first reading, so I'm up to speed on this issue. I also spoke with Jeffrey on the phone yesterday and spoke with Jolie Yaguda also on the phone. When I sort of went into yesterday, It was pretty, I just read the staff report and kind of thought that that was like the proper recommendation. And after having these phone calls with the two business owners and after learning that they had been discussing things with the executive committee at Main Street, that it was pretty well thought, you know, put forward. You know, Jolie made some pretty compelling arguments about keeping employee parking. And we're in the middle of a dilemma, right? Because we have free public parking on the street and we want to charge and somehow control parking for employees and somehow manage that. I want to just acknowledge the fact that this has been going on for a very long time and that everybody's exhausted and everybody's kind of fed up. So I want to acknowledge that. At the same time, at the last meeting, we asked for the stakeholders to come forward and give input. Granted, it's kind of late. You know, we got the letters yesterday, we got the phone calls yesterday for a meeting today, and this issue's been sort of simmering for a little while, but we asked for input, and we got input. And what we're hearing is that as an organization, Main Street wants to keep some form of employee parking. I think one of the challenges with this issue as it's gone over the years, right, is that different people were trying to solve different problems in looking at the parking issue. And even just hearing some of the comments tonight, I think that's also the case, that people are kind of addressing different issues. For me, as a council person, granted, a newly elected council person, I'm the new kid on the block. I'm not claiming to be an expert. I also don't think it's my role to be noodling through the details. Do this, do that, change the sign, tell Chief Nord to do this. I don't think those details are what we're supposed to be doing. I think we're supposed to be setting like high level direction to move forward. So even like taking the suggestion and saying, we'll keep the signs up as they are, just don't enforce it, see how it goes. There are still some details to work out in that, right? Okay, keep the signs up. Are you still going to charge people? You wouldn't charge for it? Okay, well, I mean, that hasn't really been discussed, but I think those are some details that need to get worked out. When I had the conversation with Jolie, she really communicated to me some kind of hybrid concepts. And it was new. I hadn't really thought about it. I didn't really have time to digest it. You know, what is the city's responsibility? What is Main Street's? What are the businesses' responsibility? You know, what is the appropriate or best way to move forward? But in this moment right now, we're hearing that Main Street wants to keep some iteration of employee parking available. So, you know, I'm a process person. I think it's important to get together and make sure people are agreeing on a common problem, that they're agreeing on like assumptions, on the same facts, on the same information to be moving forward. Because if you aren't agreeing on that, and even sitting in this room, we're going to have different opinions. But when if you get a little group together, you agree on that before you come up with a solution. So even saying keep it the same, I'm not sure if we can actually really, I don't know. But those are my two cents. I really want to thank staff for talking me through it and council for explaining what procedurally what our options are. But those are my thoughts. Thanks.
I do want to clarify something.
Well, okay, be quick. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just going to clarify that with this ordinance, you cannot charge for it. Because once you've eliminated it, you can't charge for anybody to park there, including the employees. So that does eliminate the charge. And leaving the signs up doesn't do any harm in any way. It's just meaningless, except it'll have an effect. But it takes that load off of the chief, too, because he doesn't have to hire anybody to try to enforce something that doesn't exist.
Okay, great.
Thank you. Yep.
Councilman Bausch.
Thank you. Couple things. The documentation for the assessment is in the range of about $4,000 per parcel. It's different than the in-lieu fees that you mentioned, Councilmember Strong.
They were, but it was them.
There were also in-lieu fees, but that's different than the assessments. So they're two different animals, and they don't conflate. They're different. We'll come back to that in a second. I really think council and staff should avail themselves of the assessment documentation. I think that's important. We can do that if we choose to look at a phased approach. I think there is confusion on whether this is going to be enforced or not. I think if we announce to our employees that there are no more paid permits, and if we do that January 1st, I'm good with that. We don't take down the signage. We still leave it as an employee lot. I'm good with that. I think we will encourage our employees to use those lots. We will see better participation and full utilization of those lots, not just in the early morning hours like you mentioned, but also later in the day when other shifts come on, later in the evening, for example, when restaurant workers come downtown. I think those people need to have spaces to park as well. So we're trying something similar to what we're doing now, but we're giving it a new twist. And I think we need to avail ourselves of that. Somebody mentioned 6 months. I think 6 months is at least a good time to give that a try. I don't know if tabling this today where we're at makes sense and bring it back in 6 months. We have the first reading. We can table the second reading for 6 months. And see, I think we can announce that we're not going to sell any more permits. Permits aren't needed. That might take some tweaking. I'll defer to legal on that. I think we really need to keep these employee lots. That seems to be the consensus out there among employees and most of the business owners. Yes.
Pro Tem Gregory.
So I don't know who could answer this question, but Damien, are you at any risk of not enforcing this regulation?
No, sir. And that's and again, I will do what the council asked me to do. That I want that on the record. I'm not the one who is saying I want to go enforce this every day. That's
yeah. We don't want to put you at risk. That's all.
I just. But again, yeah. If the request is we leave them up. And it's I'm completely okay with that.
Okay, great.
And if I could just, if this is something that we do, we've talked about the business owners being able to talk to their employees. They're the ones who if we're able to get with Main Street and ultimately have them relay the information to their employees so that we are not announcing it. I mean, obviously, we're here at a city council meeting. It's public. But if they are able to get with the business owners down on Main Street in downtown, they can still tell their staff that their employees park in these locations.
Okay. Sure. Perfect. Thank you, sir.
Good point.
Yep.
All right. Mr. Mayor, though, there's another question.
Go ahead, Fred.
And that is, if Mr. Bausch is correct, and the city doesn't own those lots, it's owned by the business owners.
Let me correct Fred. The city owns the lots.
Yes, they do.
They were the business owners were assessed to pay for those lots.
Oh, okay.
But as far as our research has gone, correct me if I'm wrong here, Mr. Huad, there is no evidence or any documentation that they're restrictive.
That's correct. We did title search. We got title guarantees for all of the lots. We pulled the deeds.
Yep.
The city bought these properties going back into the 1960s through the 80s, depending on the lot. The lots have been consolidated and separated. All sorts of things have happened in the history of them, but there are no restrictions on the title, and there are no restrictions in the deeds that we were able to pull.
Exactly. But the same attorney, without going into too much detail, we know that the same attorney didn't always record things that he was supposed to record.
Well, what's law and what's recorded is what we have to go by.
If it's not recorded.
Exactly.
That's what we're bound
by. But it's still the right thing to do, and it still gets litigated down the road, as we well know.
All right, Chris, thank you. What I've been, let me have my talk here, as in I have talked to one of the business owners, actually past Mayor Council. He was one of the folks that were engaged with Mary Studer at the time to purchase some of these lots, and he recalls no language of any kind. They were just to be bought and given to the city. That's what we show as far as documented evidence, too. So unless these folks like yourself or somebody else has something to bring forward, let's get it to staff. However, at this point in time, we can always come back on this.
We told them to sit down.
He had his chance, right? He did. Did he not? Okay. So here's my point. I can't believe the council would do something, to my thinking, is dishonorable or unethical to leave signs up for law-abiding citizens to obey when you know we will not be enforcing them. Doesn't that rub you guys a little different at this point? Because to me, you know, if we don't like a law, we change the law. That's the way we've always worked. To put up signs saying that this is restricted to employee parking and then not enforce it makes only the law-abiding citizens stay out. Do we see that logic? So that's why I'm totally against this. If we're going to not make these any longer restrictive to employee parking, then it's public parking. Anyone can use them. And again, it's we've already given all the employees rights to their very front parking right in front of their store. There's nothing we can do about that. At the end of that whole program, we asked the parking group, is there any other way or any other proposal that you would like us to consider? It was crickets at that point. Nothing came forward. So we disbanded it. I voted to get rid of it. We've gotten rid of it. Now what I'm hearing is the best of all worlds. They can park in front of their store, but they also want to have proprietary parking too. So that's my thought here. Why are we doing something that will basically restrict the law-abiding citizen when it's public parking? They have a right to be there as well. They paid for it. It's their property, but it's restrictive to employees who can also park right in front of their store. Makes no difference in my mind why we're doing that.
Just a little counterpoint. Chris, when we were talking about eliminating the parking and giving them the right to park in front of their store, and you heard crickets, no mention was made of eliminating the employee parking lots. Had that entered the conversation, you may have heard some pushback at that point. That the pushback or the elimination of the employee parking lots didn't come about until months later.
Point taken. But if we're going to go back there, then I'm going to want to bring back the paid parking on the street. I mean, that's really, it's either or.
You said Norma? Norma would want to. Did you say Norma would want to bring back?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. I mean, if we're going to allow this to continue with only paid or only employee parkings in these four lots, then it's the best of all worlds for an employee. He can park wherever he wants in town. Plus, he can also have proprietary parking that no one else can park in these. And that just makes no sense to me.
And it's up to you guys. Try it for a few months and see what happens.
My point here is if we're going to remove these from employee parking, we should also remove the signs to say that there is no restriction to anybody. They are public parking. And I don't like the fact that we're telling the police department, just look the other way. That just doesn't make sense to me. They're sworn to uphold the law. The sign says it's only for employee parking, but you're telling them disregard it. That makes no sense to me, guys.
Yeah. So we have lots and lots of, we heard this during the parking, or excuse me, during the dog issue in the park. There's lots of laws on the books that aren't enforced.
We said that originally, that I remember Norma, when we started this at 6-8 years ago, she talked her head off trying to get these people to park outside the downtown area. Didn't work. We tried the point.
No, I'm talking about laws that are enforced and laws that aren't enforced.
Well, we're sticking
to
the
subject. There's lots of laws on the books that aren't enforced.
We're sticking to the subject here, Chris, and it's parking. So at this point, we have a recommendation before us. Councilmember Beal.
This is really, thank you, sir. And this is a really interesting conversation, and it has me thinking that we're really looking at this with sort of all or nothing thinking. Very black and white, not a lot of nuance in this conversation. And so maybe a compromise next step would be, and I appreciate your comments about having a sign up and just ignoring it. Right. I appreciate that. Like, we have rules, but we should be really thoughtful about this. And maybe there isn't a good solution. Right. Maybe, you know, there's going to be some people that don't get what they want. But I think we can all agree that we want employees to park somewhere else than in front of, and those lots could be an option. So maybe the option right now today, because we have something on the agenda, is we table this item. We set up a little committee. I know this is just torture for everyone, so I appreciate if you're like just dropping your head in like exhaustion and really just talk about this particular item. There might be some nuanced solutions. I don't know what the city can and cannot do. I don't know, you know, how Chief Nord would weigh in. I would like to be hearing from some employees, right? So, and maybe put a time limit on it. So maybe not 6 months, and you bring it back in a couple months, and maybe they come up with something, maybe they don't. But at least, you know, we had stakeholders come up and say that they wanted something.
Okay.
Okay.
I'd like to talk.
Pro Tem Barry, go ahead.
Okay. So I think Councilman Beal's correct. I think what we should do is continue the item and create an ordinance that would work for us. In the meantime, just leave it the way it is. And if we're going to really enforce employee parking, even though it'll be free, we design an ordinance that works, it's fair. So one of my suggestions in a letter I wrote to Jolie is that real employee parking, in my opinion, from what I know of having the Odyssey, from 8 in the morning till 6 in the evening, what that does, it opens up public parking after 6 o'clock. Anybody that works in the evening in a restaurant is working by 6 o'clock.
Ah, good point.
So just think about this. When we need those parking spots for the public, it's after 6 o'clock. So if they're not there, it's a simple fix. I know you guys don't like putting tape over signs and stuff like that, but I think we need to keep this simpler than it is, and that is we owe the employees a place to park. It's worked well for the most part. John, I don't believe that employees feel entitled that they can park either or. The employees are going to park in the parking lots are going to park in the parking lots and save the off-street parking. So I think that's more important to deal with than having an ordinance that's not correct.
I would say take the signs off and still let them do that. I just don't like the idea, the fact that you're trying to keep law-abiding citizens from a particular public lot just to make more spaces so that they can park there.
Would you make the 6 o'clock part of the new ordinance?
We have no way to enforce this, Chris.
We could amend
it. I think that's a good idea.
I think it's the best
If
way
we to table it. This, then the current situation exists. That means it is paid. The permits will start as of January 1st.
No.
That's what's in effect.
No.
If you table this, then what's currently in effect is in effect.
Unless we make...
Unless we quickly make a change.
Right.
But that's up to us.
This is
that has to be at a future agenda.
The sunset could continue.
I think the details of this should get worked out.